لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماءه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، رحمة للعالمين، سيدنا ومولانا، شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الهداة المهديين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أما بعد، فقد قال الحكيم في كتابه المجيد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله، ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Before I begin, may I ask my dear brothers to move forward as much as possible. Inshallah, I'm anticipating being a Saturday, being a weekend. There will be other mu'mineen joining us shortly. And inshallah ta'ala, the hall will start to swell up, inshallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajam. Azamallahu ujurana wa ujurakum bi masabina bi abi abdillahi al-Husayn alayhi salam. May Allah magnify and multiply and make abundant your reward for mourning and grieving over Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. But the greeting doesn't stop there. We say, وَجَعَلَنَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ مِنَ الطَّالِبِينَ بِثَأْرِهِ مَعَ وَلِيِّهِ الْإِمَامَ الْمَهْدِي مِنْ آلِ مُحَمَّدْ عَلَيْهِمَ السَّلَامِ. May Allah not only magnify our reward for weeping and grieving over Aba Abdullah and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, but make me and you, all of us together, from those who will take the revenge from those who made Imam al-Husayn and his companions shaheed and martyred them, alongside his wali, the wali of Imam al-Husayn, the one who has the right to take the revenge, that is Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Obviously, this is a greeting that we have for each other on the day of Ashura primarily, but it is something that needs to beat in our hearts. It needs to resonate with us. And inshallah, in 7 days' time, we will be on the day of Ashura. It is a good time for us to start thinking about what does it mean. I know in today's day and age, it's not something common for us to talk about revenge, number one. That's a question that we need to discuss. What does it mean to take revenge from the ones who martyred Imam al-Husayn alongside Imam al-Mahdi? By those people who used to live at the time of Imam al-Husayn who martyred them have already died. What does it mean to take revenge from them? This is a question I'm leaving you with, inshallah. I will, inshallah, come back to this later on, not today, but inshallah in the days and nights to come. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. In today's discussion, as I had the blessing to recite this beautiful verse of the Holy Quran, just like all the other verses, that remind us of a very basic, very inherent, very essential, very core, innate reality of the human being. If you want to call it, this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being. This is the style in which Allah has made me and you, all of us. And this style of creation, in one word in Islamic terminology, we call it the fitrat, the fitrah. Yeah? This is a very important word, brothers and sisters, because this word, if we understand what this concept means, and not only understand it, but feel it within ourselves, we will have answers to a lot of our problems as well. Yeah? So what does Allah say? In Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Fitratullah allati fatara an-nasa alayha. Fitratullah is the style in which Allah has created. It's tied to Allah. It is from Allah. It is Allah's style in which He created all human beings. There is no differentiation, whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim, whether they are mu'min or not mu'min, whether they are even atheists or agnostics. Every human being is endowed with this innate conscience, this innate way of approaching life. And you will see this. You will notice this across all human beings. Yeah. Fitratullahi allati fatara an-nasa alayha. And then Allah says, there is no changing it. La tabdila li khalqillah. This way in which the human being approaches life will never change. Even though the human being goes away from the intrinsic, the fitrah, and the ways of the fitrah, the way life will appear for the human being, the things that the human being will desire will never change. The only things that will change will be the object of desire. Urdu mein se samjhate hue chalta hoon. कि इंसान को खुदा ने इस तरह से बनाया है, इंसान की फितरत को इस तरह सींचा है, अपने मोहब्बत से, अपने एक तरीके से, एक अपने एक उसलूब से, कि इंसान एक तरह खुदा ने खल्क किया है कि वो उन्हीं चीज़ों को चाहता है जिसे खुदा ने उन्हें उसे बनाया है, मगर चाहने चाहने में कभी कभी वो सही चीज़ों को चाह बैठता है और कभी कभी इश्तबा और गलती कर बैठता है उन चीज़ों को जो उसकी चाहत से निकलती हैं. मिस्टेक और प्रॉब्लम वहाँ शुरू होता है जब खुदा ने जो दी हुई चाहतें हमें दी हुई हैं अंदर ना, उसे हम अच्छे और सही माने में इस्तेमाल ना करें, तब हम भटक जाते हैं रास्ते से. ये खुलासा है आज के डिस्कशन का इंशाल्लाह. सल्लु अला मुहम्मद व आलि मुहम्मद. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, you're really making me feel that this is a weekend salawat. You know, it's a relaxing day, and I know that the salawats are also becoming relaxing, but this is a Husseini majlis, so you need to have a Husseini salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajim. Brothers and sisters, I would like to mention four areas that the fitrah is active in. And inshallah, be with me, because I don't want to stay on this topic. I want to get to something that is more important, that comes out of the fitrah, right? Number one, the fitrah, the way Allah has created us, that desires the best in everything, that desires all perfection that is originating in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first aspect that I would like us to focus on is that the fitrah of the human being wants to connect to something beyond itself. The fitrah of the human being has been created by Allah in such a way that it wants to be purposeful. It wants a purpose in life. There's no human being who doesn't want to have a purpose in life. There's no human being who doesn't desire. They may be successful, they may not be successful, but in their heart of hearts, they want to be part of something bigger. Either it's a bigger community, or it's a bigger movement, or it's an organization. It's something bigger than me that is beyond me that I want to become part of. And it has to go beyond me. It should not be limited to me. And that is one chahat, one desire that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed inside the human being. How are we supposed to fulfill it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a religion, al-Islam, spirituality, to connect with the greatest being out there that is greater than us. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we engage in tasbih, when we engage in worship, when we engage in ibadah, it connects us, and it should connect us, by the way. If our tasbih and ibadah and worship is not making us feel connected to Allah, there's something wrong with our ibadah. We're not benefiting from our ibadah. We want, as a human being, and all human beings desire to be connected to something greater and beyond themselves. They want to be part of a greater purpose. Allah tells us, connect with me. 5 times a day at the very least. And more than that if you like. Through Salat al-Layl, through Dua, through Munajat, whatever connects you with me. Through Ziyarat of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam, Dhikr of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam. All these things connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this brings in, this connection brings a lot of love, a lot of hope, and a lot of sweet desire in the human being. So let's hold on to this. First feature that I would like to talk to about is that the human being wants to be part of something beyond itself. Number one. Number two, the human being wants to search and be attached to the truth and the haqq. It doesn't want to stop behind. If it finds out something is wrong, it'll turn its attention away. It'll seek what is right. It wants what is true. It wants what is right. It wants what has the answers to my questions inside me. That's why you will find the human being curious. Insan ki fitrat mein hai ki insan ilm hasil kare. Insan, the human being, wants to always explore. Not only in terms of sciences, in terms of exploring the nature and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exploring everything that can be called ilm and knowledge. Yeah? That's the second feature of the fitrah, the way Allah has created the human being. The third one is that the human being always seeks all types of beauty. Anything beautiful, the human being wants it for himself. Now, beauty can be of two types. Beauty can be external. Like, for example, we always, you know, look forward to going out into the creation of Allah and look at the scenery, the scenic beauty. Why is it so infatuating and something that our heart always desires? It's the fitrah. It's the beauty-seeking nature of the human being that wants to be in this beautiful scenery and behold it. But that's only the external beauty, right? Anything beautiful, physically, externally. But the human being also desires internal beauty. That's the beauty of morality. That's the beauty of akhlaq. If you have two people in front of you, one has a very nice, humble, cheerful attitude, would you like to go talk to them, or would you like to talk to a person who always frowns, who has bad words coming out of their mouth? Naturally, the human being sees that this person has better akhlaq. This person has more beauty in his character. Inside, he is more beautiful. I want to be with this person. Inshallah, you're with me. The third thing, as I said, is the innate desire for the human being to look for beauty. Yeah? And out of that, now not only seek beauty, but also create things that are beautiful. Yeah? So you see the aesthetic aspect of the human being, where human beings like to paint, where they want to express artistically, but at the same time convey a lot of meaning through words. Words, literature, sha'iri, has a very big component in how the fitrah works, the fitrah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human being. And overall, the human being wants the best in everything. Whatever feature, whatever you can consider to be an attribute, a characteristic within the human being wants the best in everything. That's the fourth aspect. Now, we've been created like this. The question is, how do we practically move forward in this direction? And this is where, brothers and sisters, we have the Quran that is showing us the path. Yeah? The Quran has ample stories about these types of things, these types of features that the human being desires. It also shows us the right way, and it also holds us back from the wrong ways of doing things. I shared the story of Qarun the other day. That's the example of a person. Obviously, the fitrah is pushing him to seek knowledge, but he is going down the path of materialism through his knowledge. Yeah? That man, Bal'am Ba'ura, that I shared with you the story of, the religious person who used to pray and his dua would be accepted, he wanted to be spiritual, he wanted to connect with something beyond himself, but he used it as a means to go away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he got attached to his ego. But brothers and sisters, the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are also there. You know, why does our heart stand up from its spot when it hears the fala'il of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam? Why? When we hear the fala'ila of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, for example, we, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, we start to feel different. Not only we are aroused, but we are excited because we see all aspects, of the four aspects of the fitrah that I talked about, all put together, actualized in one person at one time. You desire knowledge as a human being? You see it in the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. You desire power and strength of the body? You see it in Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. You desire connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see it in the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. You desire beauty of character? You see it in the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. You want beauty that is apparent outwardly? You see it in the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. You desire perfection that is possibly human, you see it in the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. That is why when we hear the fala'il of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we start to move. Because we not only see one part of our fitrah in that person who is that the ma'asum alayhi salam, we see all of them in one place at the same time. So brothers and sisters, it is very important we share the fala'il of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam with our children. Very important. It is very important that we not only touch our hearts with the water and the wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt, but our children need to taste it. Because if we don't do it, others are there to show them what their fitrah desires, but not in the Ahlul Bayt. They will show them elsewhere. And they'll show them fake. We desire strength, courage, bravery. We have Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen. We have non-masumeen, like Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, for example. And these stories of the battles of Karbala and beyond, they're not just fables. They're rooted in reality. They're true events. And these people were true human beings that existed. You can go visit their graves today as well. But what our kids are being given is the likes of Spider-Man, the likes of Batman, the likes of whatever man you can think of. They want beauty. Our girls are infatuated with the Disney cartoons like Frozen, for example.
The issue is, the fitrah is the same. The fitrah is desiring all this beauty. It's desiring the knowledge, it's desiring the courage, it's desiring the bravery, it's desiring the perfections. But if we don't tell true stories of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt to our children, others will tell them and take them away from the Ahlul Bayt. So brothers and sisters, it is the responsibility of the parents to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah, the love of the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet alayhimus salam, and the love of the Holy Quran. This is a hadith of the Holy Prophet. Train your children, nurture your children with the hub of the Prophet, with the hub of the Ahlul Bayt and the hub of the Quran. This will set them on the right path that their fitrah wants them to be, and you're giving them the path that they need to follow. So brothers and sisters, what do we see in the Mawla, Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam? Keep in mind, Amirul Mu'mineen, when we go for a ziyarah, we recite and we say, As-salamu alayka ya mizanul a'mal. Salams be upon you who is the balance and the weighing scale of our a'mal, of our actions. You know what does that mean? On the day of judgment, our a'mal, our good and bad deeds will not be put in a tarazu, in a scale that we have in a grocery shop in the olden days, right? I don't know, nowadays they have an electronic scale. They put it on and it tells you. I know when I was a kid, I used to go to the grocery shop in Arabia, they call it the baqala. Yeah. I would go there and I'd say, I would like some tomatoes, and then he would put one weight on one side, and then he would put, say, 5 kilos worth of tomatoes on the other side, and he will give it to me, and I'll give them cash. Our conception on the Day of Judgment of our a'mal being weighed, is it like this, that there will be a tarazu, there will be a balance, our good deeds will be on one side, and the bad deeds will be on the other side. Whichever way it tips, we go to Jannah or Jahannam, right? If it tips in the good direction, and the good deeds are heavier, we'll go to Jannah. The bad deeds are heavier, we'll go to Jahannam. That's sometimes the conception we end up growing up with. The ziyarat of Amir al-Mu'mineen says, As-salamu alayka ya mizanul a'mal, O mizan of the a'mal, O the scale against which all of the a'mal of all of Allah's creation will be measured against. On the Day of Judgment, there won't be a tarazu the way we think of it, the balance. The tarazu, the balance will be Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring our good deeds and bad deeds, put them together. How much do you resemble Ali? How much do you resemble Ali? If you resemble Ali a little bit, you will go to Jannah. The more you resemble Ali, the higher you go in Jannah. But the moment you are noticed, God forbid, na'udhu billah, there is somebody who hates Ali, na'udhu billah, nastajiru billah, they are bound for Jahannam. And the more they hate, the more they're unlike Ali, the more they're against Ali, the deeper they will go in Jahannam. Amir al-Mu'mineen is the scale. On the Day of Judgment will be measured against him. So brothers and sisters, the falila of Amir al-Mu'mineen needs to be understood, needs to be shared. And I know we would like our kids to also, and this is for our children more so than our adults, inshallah, some of the falail of Mawla I would like to share today. Inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. My apologies for being slightly weaker, but thank you for the coffee, inshallah. It will give me the energies to bring out some of what I can share about the fadail of Mawla, because I need that energy to share the scene of what happened. Now, normally we focus our attention on the fadila of Amir al-Mu'mineen on the battlefield. And it's important, especially for our boys. Our boys need to know that besides what the artificial the fake characters that are concocted, they're artificial, they're not real. There is one character that we surely need to know and surely need to have in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. That Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, who was only in his 30s, yeah, when he is with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Badr, for example, he is now facing the champions of the Arabs. The champions. And to some extent, they wouldn't even want to come in front of Mawla Ali because they'd say, this is a kid. But Imam Ali alayhi salam would come. And there's one thing that people knew about Amir al-Mu'mineen, and they would be scared about him. Not necessarily his physical power. They knew his irada and willpower was so astute and strong in the way of Allah that he would not take anybody's lawmatu la'im. وَلَا تَأَخُضُهُ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةُ لَائِمْ. He would not deter, he would not run away. If Ali was there, they knew the thing would be done. He would not run away, he would not go away till the job was done. And Rasulullah put him there all the time. In the Battle of Badr, you know, he fought against Walid. And in one-on-one combat, he struck him down. But this was the first battle that Amir al-Mu'mineen showed his capabilities in. Such that Amir al-Mu'mineen was the one who killed most of the mushrikeen, the ones who could come to fight Rasulullah and the Muslims. But I will not go into the details of Battle of Badr and Uhud for now. But I do feel that the parents need to share the history of Islam with their children and make them realize what was going on. Why did Imam Ali have to fight? Why did Rasulullah have to fight? So much so that the pressure of the enemies of Islam, the pressure from the mushrikeen and the idol worshippers of Mecca was strong, and they wanted to remove Islam from the way that they realized after the defeat in the Battle of Badr and a relative defeat in the Battle of Uhud. They all gathered their forces in the Battle of Khandaq. And they said, we need to nip this Islam in the bud before it gets out of control. They gathered all of their allies. And the allies came together. It's called the Battle of the Ahzab. The Battle of the Parties. All of the anti-Muslim forces in Arabia who are idol worshippers gathered together with the Meccans. And they said, we will surround Medina and we will kill the Muslims and finish the Prophet. Now, it was very short notice for the Holy Prophet when he found out that the attack is coming. And they all marched from all different directions. So the Muslims in Medina did not get an opportunity to prepare. Now, the way Medina is structured, that it is a city that is surrounded by mountains on two sides, two high mountain ranges on two sides. The north side has a passage opening and the south side has a passage opening. This is where the Muslims started to say, Ya Rasulullah, what are we going to do? They all started consulting with each other. And that is where Salman al-Farisi al-Muhammadi, he comes and says, Ya Rasulullah, in Iran, whenever we have a battle and we want to overpower or weaken the enemy who is very strong, we dig trenches. We have a khandaq. Yeah, we dig up a trench. So to protect Medina, let's dig up a trench on the north side and on the south side. The Muslims like the idea. Rasulullah endorses the idea. They all start digging. They're digging and digging and digging. And this is where the enemies start to approach. The Muslims all stand together in formation. Many of the mushrikeen, they try to cross over the khandaq, over the trench. They can't. It's too wide and it's too deep. But one of them ends up crossing over. His name is Amr ibn Abdawud. And he is one of those champions of Arabs. He was known. People could not stare him in the eyes. And when he crossed over, he looked at the Muslims and said, "Who amongst you is ready to fight me?" Nobody came forward, let alone look at him in the eyes. Nobody came forward. He even went so far as to disrespect the Muslims, and he said, who amongst you would like me to send them to heaven or would like me to be sent to hellfire? Nobody responded. And the third time when he asked, Imam Ali alayhi salam stood up. And actually Imam Ali had stood up in both cases. Rasulullah had asked him to wait. When the third time he said, O Muhammad, who is going to come and fight me? You don't have any men? Amir al-Mu'mineen stood up. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission. Rasulullah gave him permission. And he dressed him up. And he told Amir al-Mu'mineen, today, kull al-Iman is going against, to fight kull al-Kufr. All of Iman today is fighting all of kufr, all of disbelief. Amir al-Mu'mineen heads towards the battlefield with Amr, who has just crossed over. And now Amr is a good friend of the father of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abu Talib alayhi salam. He sees Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam. He says, Ali, is this you that I'm seeing? He says, yes. I'm a good friend of your father, Abu Talib. I don't want to fight you. Go back. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, you go back. When he sees a kid, a 30-year-old, he was more than 50. He says, telling me to go back. Imam Ali says, I'll give you three options. You pick one of them. He says, the first option is you become a Muslim and you accept Islam and we don't have to fight. He says, no, I can't do that. The second option is you go back and don't fight with us. He says, I can't do that. They'll call me a coward. Chickened out. He said, if you're not ready to accept my first and second offer, accept the third one, and that you are on a horse, I am on the ground. Come down on the ground and fight with me one-on-one. Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he offers this, Amr accepts it. He comes down from the horse. And he said, had it not been for my friendship with your father, I wouldn't have done this. Imam Ali and Amr are face to face now. This is where Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam fights him. And they have an intense battle, intense fight, sword fight. After a few moments, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam pins and nails him to the ground. When he nails him to the ground, now look at what Amr does. He turns back and, na'uzu billah, he spits on the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Imam Ali alayhi salam was about to draw his sword and to nail him and finish him. Imam Ali alayhi salam holds off for a moment. He steps away and then he lets him come back up, and then again he comes back and he fights him and he nails and finishes him. And he says, Allahu Akbar. All the Muslims scream out loudly, Allahu Akbar. When Rasulullah sees this, he says, ضَرْبَةُ عَلِيٍّ يَوْمَ خَنْدَقْ أَظَّلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الثَّقَلَيْنِ. The one strike, the one blow of Ali on the day of Khandaq, on the day of Ahzab, on that battle day, is better. One blow. Who is this man? Just imagine. His one blow is better than the worship of all humans and jinn put together. ضَرْبَةُ عَلِيٍّ يَوْمَ خَنْدَقْ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الثَّقَلَيْنِ. Now look at the fadila of Amir al-Mu'mineen. If we think that the fadila of Amir al-Mu'mineen was just to nail a person like Amr ibn Abdawud, we're mistaken. It's not only that. It's not only the physical strength of Mawla Amir al-Mu'mineen that he possesses that is special about him. Look at what he did. People came around and said, Ya Ali, why didn't you finish him in the first go? When you had him under you. This is where a hadith of Rasulullah comes together. Rasulullah has a beautiful hadith about Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, Aliyun mamsusun fi dhatillah. Ali is totally taken over by the presence of Allah. Ali is so infatuated in the love of Allah that there is nothing else but the pleasure of Allah that he sees. That's it. When Amir al-Mu'mineen was about to strike him, when he spat back at Amir al-Mu'mineen stepped away. Why? Because he said to the people when they asked him, that at that moment when he spat on me, my internal nafs and the anger was coming forward. And had I killed him at that time, it would have been not for the sake of Allah, but rather to quench my anger within me. That's why I held back. I didn't want to do it for my anger and to quench my internal ghadab. I stepped away. I cleared my thoughts. I purified my thoughts for the sake of Allah, and I wanted to do it only for the sake of Allah. And that's when I came and struck him. This is where you said, Nare Hadri. That's. Ya Ali. This is what should move us. Everything that Amir al-Mu'mineen did was for the sake of Allah. You see, all of the fada'il of Amir al-Mu'mineen, it's not his. He is showing us the beauty of Allah. He is showing us the strength of Allah. He is showing us the love of Allah. He is showing us everything beautiful that Allah has created for the human being to achieve in this life. Aliyun mamsusun fi dhatillah. We need to tell our kids stories of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, but from a godly perspective. Allah has to be in the picture all the time. Allah is the one who gave Amir al-Mu'mineen what he had. When he moved the door of Khaybar, when he struck Marhab and Marhab comes to him and says, what is your name? He says, أنا الذي سمتني أمي حيدرا. I am the one that the mother of whom has named him Haydar. Marhab steps away. He says, why did you step away? He says, I was told by my mother that fight everybody and anybody in your life, but if somebody with the name Haydar comes, don't fight with him. This tells you that the mention of Amir al-Mu'mineen is not only in the books of the Jews, in the Torah or in their sacred scriptures. They know that there is a being besides Rasulullah that they knew very well, who is also called Ali. Either Alia or whatever name they have for Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And they also knew that not to mess with a person who comes and his name is Haydar. Marhab didn't want to fight initially. But when he did, he saw it. Brothers and sisters, the fada'il are immense. But what is really important for us to know is what is the greatest fadila of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. What do you think is the greatest fadila of Amir al-Mu'mineen? Some of you might say it is, for example, he is the Khalifa of Rasulullah. Some of you might say that, oh, he is the one who slept on the bed of Rasulullah on the night of Hijrah, and he gave his life, put it on the line for Rasulullah. Some of you might say that he is the one who has been the Fatih and the victorious of all of the battles that were fought against Muslims and Islam. And by the way, I must also say, when we talk about the fadail of Amir al-Mu'mineen, we're not taking away from the fadail of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of these fadail and more than these fadail are recorded for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that, and remember to say the nare after this, eh? And so much so that it is mentioned by Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali ibn Abi Talib himself, he would say when the battle would get heavy, and we would get tired fighting, we would take refuge behind Rasulullah and all of the companions will take a breather and Rasulullah would be in the front lines. Rasulullah is the teacher of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Whatever Amir al-Mu'mineen has learned is from Rasulullah Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Salli alayhi. Ya Ali, Ya Ali. Why should our brothers, the Muslim brothers, come and say you upgrade Imam Ali so much that you forget Rasulullah? You should always tell them that when we upgrade the student, we are automatically upgrading the teacher. Because it's the teacher who has taught the student all what the student is doing. If Amir al-Mu'mineen has all of these fada'il, Rasulullah has them and much more. Because he is the teacher, he is the murabbi, he is the one who has done the tarbiyah of Amir al-Mu'mineen this way. All the ilm of Amir al-Mu'mineen is through Rasulullah. All the shaja'ah of Amir al-Mu'mineen is through Rasulullah. All of the fada'il are through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, the greatest fadila of Amir al-Mu'mineen is in the words of the Holy Quran itself, not from my words. We just had the event of Mubahala 10 days ago. And in the event of Mubahala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Holy Prophet that you have Christians coming to you to debate with you, discuss with you about the haqq, and they are not ready to accept the truth, tell them that we're ready for a duel, a Mubahala. So you bring your children, we will bring our children. You bring your ladies, we'll bring our ladies. You bring your souls, we'll bring our souls. And then we'll have a duel, we'll have a mubahala. For children, Rasulullah takes Imamain al-Hasanain alayhimus salam. For the ladies, he takes Sayyidat Nisa al-Alameen Fatimatu al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. But for the souls, he could have simply taken himself. Who else did he take with him? Now this is in the words of a Sunni brother, like a scholar who is from the Ahlus Sunnah. He says, if somebody says that the greatest fadila of Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen, is that he was a Sahabi, I will say, no, you're mistaken. It is for the others. But the greatest fadila of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in the words of the Holy Quran is that Allah calls him the nafs of the Holy Prophet. When he says, wa anfusana wa anfusakum, Rasulullah could have taken himself alone, that was enough. Why did he take Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam with him? And the history, both Shias and Sunnis, everybody narrates this. There is not only the Shia version that says that Amir al-Mu'mineen went. The Ahlus Sunnah also accept it. When the Anfusana is called and the nafs of the Holy Prophet is taken, and that is Amir al-Mu'mineen, what does that tell you? That the nafs of the Holy Prophet and the nafs of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is one and the same. It is connected. The only difference is إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. Amir al-Mu'mineen is not a Nabi, he's not a prophet. He is the wasi of the prophet. He is the khalifa of the prophet. He is the janashin of the prophet. But he is not a prophet of Allah. That's the only difference, period. Our children need to be taught about this, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, I see my time is running, but I need to also tell you, remember the discussion yesterday I mentioned about sanctity and willpower. And I said one of the things that you need to realize about strengthening your willpower is to realize the sanctity of things that are around you, starting with yourself. Talking about fadail of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam is beyond us. It's beyond us. To that extent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was once asked about the fadila of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Rasulullah says, actually Ibn Umar, the son of the second Khalifa, he comes and he narrates that once we ask, سَأَلَنَا النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa alihi عَنْ عَلِي ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam فَغَضِبَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُ عَلَيْهِ. That when they came and they were asking about the fadail of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Rasulullah became upset. He said, ثُمَّ قَالْ مَا بَالَ أَقْوَامٌ يَذْكُرُونَ مَا مَنْ مَنْزِلَتَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ كَمَنْزِلَتِي. What is wrong with people that they're asking me about the station of a person whose station near Allah is just like my station near Allah? أَلَا وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ عَلِيًّا. Now this is the station of those who love Ali. Ala wa man ahabba aliyan ahabbani. The one who loves Ali loves me. Wa man ahabbani faqad radiyallahu anhu. The one who loves me, as a result, Allah is radi and pleased with him. Wa man radiyallahu anhu kafahu al-jannah. The one who Allah is pleased with, Jannah is enough for them. And the hadith continues. I will not just read the Arabic, but basically it says, the one who loves Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and here I'm coming to the fada'il of the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the one who loves Amir al-Mu'mineen. The hadith says, the one who loves Ali alayhi salam will not exit and leave this dunya except that Allah will grant him a drink from the Kawthar and will eat from the tree called Tuba, and will see his place in Jannah. This is the status, this is the fadila of the one who truly loves Ali alayhi salam, let alone the status of Amir al-Mu'mineen. It's beyond our imagination. It's beyond our comprehension. Brothers and sisters, but one thing is very important. Anybody who calls himself a Shia has to test themselves against this quality. This is very important. And this is a hadith that has been narrated on the account of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi. If you truly believe that you are a Shia of the Ahlul Bayt, of Mawla Amirul Mu'mineen, this hadith is for you. And it says, Qala, from Rasulullah, it has been narrated, من قال لا إله إلا الله مخلصا دخل الجنة. The one who says لا إله إلا الله, the one who proclaims that there is no God but Allah, the one who firmly believes that there is no authority other than Allah's, will surely enter Jannah. But there's one condition. It has to be مخلصا. It has to be out of خلوص and إخلاص, out of sincerity. That I am saying this and I'm going to implement it, not to show somebody, not for somebody else's sake, not also for my sake. I am doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to be the Shia of Ali, you have to be like Ali. And Ali was for Allah. If you want to be a Shia, you have to be for Allah. You have to live your life for Allah, and the quality and the yardstick and the criteria, and this is what the hadith continues and says, وَإِخْلَاصُهُ بِهَا. The ikhlas, the sincerity, if you want to test your sincerity, apne ikhlas aur khulus ka agar aap test karna chahte hain, azmaish karna chahte hain, imtihan karna chahte hain, yahan kijiye. أَن يَحْجُزَهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ عَمَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ. If your love for Amir al-Mu'mineen, if your love for Rasulullah, if you're saying La ilaha illallah is sincere, it will hold you back from what Allah has made haram. It will hold you back. If it does not hold you back, there is something insincere somewhere that needs to be fixed. And in these days and nights that we are here, brothers and sisters, this is our prime opportunity, I tell you. There is no days and nights better than the days and nights of Muharram that we can really test our sincerity. If you're coming to the majlis of Imam al-Hussein for the sake of Imam al-Hussein, there is sincerity. You're not coming for the sake of somebody looking at yourself or somebody looking at what you're wearing. You're not coming here to, you know, say, okay, what is that person going to say if I recited the Nauha today or the Marthiya doesn't go well? What will people think? No, only worry about what Mawla will think. Only care about what Allah will think. Because if you do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're pleasing him and you're pleasing Imam al-Hussein, you're pleasing his mother Fatima al-Zahra, and there is nobody more that you need to please. Nobody more. If you do that, that's your first step towards becoming a true Shia of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And tonight, we will remember some of these true Shias of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The true Shia in that time of Ashura and Karbala were only the 70 or so people who were gathered with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. The rest of them were not Shia. If somebody comes and tells you, Shia khud ne mara hai Imam Hussain ko aur khud giriya karte hai Imam Hussain pe, aap keh dijiye, wo jinhone Imam Hussain ko mara, wo Shia the hi nahi. Sometimes they tell us, right? Sometimes they allege that Shias are just the same people who killed Imam Hussain. They called him and then they cry over him being killed because they themselves killed Imam Hussain. Nastaghfirullah, nastajiru billah min dhalik. They who fought against Imam al-Hussein, even though they wrote letters and they said, Al-Ajal, Al-Ajal, Mawla, come soon. They wrote letters from Kufa, the way we write Arizas today, to our Mawla, our master. The issue is, kehne wale Shia to bahut hain, kaam wale Shia bahut kam hain. We also say, Al-Ajal, Al-Ajal. We recite, Allahumma kun li waliyika, every day. But when the Imam comes, are we ready to say Labbaika Ya Mahdi to him? Are we? Imam al-Hussein left Medina, left Makkah. Those who were true Shia, they immediately understood that the Imam needs us and they ran towards him and they joined him. Some even came to him when the Imam wrote them a letter. They were stuck in Kufa. Before I come to the Masaib of Habib ibn Mazahir al-Asadi, the great companion, the great friend of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, I would like to take a few moments to share some of the Masaib of the other Ashab as well, inshallah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwahi allati hallat bifinaik alaykum minni salamullahi abada ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم altogether السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين عليهم السلام. Brothers and sisters, the days of Muharram are passing by very quickly. We have come with our back full of our sins on our backs that are laden. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the companions of Imam al-Hussein, the true Shias of Imam al-Hussein, to relieve us of our sins, to purify our hearts, to grant us sincerity like the Ashab of Imam al-Hussein had sincerity. Brothers and sisters, tonight we remember those companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, that Imam al-Hussein was so proud of them that he showed them the stations of the companions to themselves before they were killed on the day of Ashura. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam bids farewell to his Zuhair, to his Habib, to his John, and to Burair. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I know we are not true Shia in the right sense of the word, O my master, but O Allah, we want to become like the Zuhair of Imam al-Mahdi. We want to become like the Burair of Imam al-Mahdi. We want to become the Habib of Imam al-Mahdi. We want to be at least like the John of Imam al-Mahdi. Brothers and sisters, the companions of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein came from very diverse backgrounds. You had Arabs, you had Persians, you had Turkish, you had Africans, you had people even according to some from Roman backgrounds. But you find that all of them together were united with one thing, and that was the love of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. The love of Allah that was embodied in the love of Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Because the Ahlul Bayt have reached such a station of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there is no difference. When you love them, you automatically love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you love Allah, you're bound to love the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That's the station of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Tonight, let's remember John, the slave of Aba Dhar al-Ghifari, the companion of Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Wasallam on the day of Ashura, he would constantly come towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and he would ask him and rather beg him, "Oh my Imam, give me permission to go fight against your enemies, the enemies of Allah, the enemies of Rasulullah." Imam alayhi salam would always politely decline his request, and he would say, "John, maybe later, maybe not now, now is not the right time." John completely was insisting with Imam al-Hussein. He comes to a point and he says these words that are recorded in history. He says, "Oh my Mawla, I know my fragrance is not appealing. I know I am of a low birth. I am from a caste that is not given respect in society, and I know I am a slave. But please, please get me to Jannah, get me to paradise, such that my fragrance, my smell becomes sweet-smelling fragrance, and my status becomes high, and my face becomes whitened." And then John comes towards Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and is pleading to the Imam, and he says, "Oh my Imam, I swear by Allah that I will not leave you. I will not part with you till I die, and that this blood that is not of significance mixes with your pure blood." Ajrukum ala Allah. John proceeds with the permission of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam towards the battlefield, and he starts to recite these couplets, and these are beautiful, where he says, "Bil mushrafi al qati' al muhannadi, kayfa yara al fujjar darb al aswadi, adhubbu anhum bil lisani wal yadi, bis sayfi sultan an bani muhammadi." This is the zarb and the strike of the black one. How do the evil ones see it, that I come and attack them with a sharp cutting sword, a shining sword I will use to defend the children of Muhammad and protect them with my tongue and my hand. John fights valiantly and meets Shahada with open arms. Imam approaches him and he comes towards him and he sees John on the ground and he prays for him. It is reported by Imam Zainul Abideen that on Shami Ghariba, that when he was trying to gather all the bodies of the Shuhada, that when he approached the specific body, he started to smell a very sweet smelling fragrance. It was as if it was the fragrance of musk. Imam al-Sajjad realizes that that is the body of John, the slave of Abu Dhar al-Ghafari. Ajrukum ala Allah. Next, we pay our condolences to the Imam, to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, for his beloved friend, for his Habib. And Habib was not only in name Habib, he was in heart Habib to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Imam al-Hussein had great respect for Habib ibn Mudahir. Even though he was a year or two older than him, they were very close friends. Habib ibn Mudahir, on the letter that Imam writes to him, he says, "Min Husseinin Ghareeb ila rajulin faqih." Says, from the Hussein who is surrounded, has nobody to help him, who is gharib, he writes to his friend, the faqih, the one who is of full understanding. Imam al-Hussein invites Habib to help him, and Habib finds a way to come out of Kufa despite the curfew that was on Kufa. He comes towards Karbala, and when he comes, Habib meets with the companions of Imam al-Hussein. He meets with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. It is reported that Lady Zainab heard that there was some commotion in the companions of Imam al-Hussein. It is reported that they say that Lady Zainab, when she heard that Habib had come to support Imam Hussein al-Ghareeb, she sends fidda towards Habib and she says, "Please convey my salams to Habib." Ajrukum ala Allah. Habib is from the Bani Asad tribe. And he was very key in securing fighters from the tribe of Bani Asad for the Imam. Habib really helped Muslim Akhil as well when he was in Kufa, and he brought a lot of support for Muslim ibn Akhil. But brothers, on the day of Ashura, Imam made Habib the commander of the left wing of the army. It was very interesting that Habib, when he was approaching the night of Ashura and the day of Ashura, everybody else was engaged in some kind of worship or the other. Habib was also engaged, but there was something very fascinating about Habib, that he would always feel so good and happy that he would start joking with his friends. And some of them would tell him, Ya akhi, laysa hadha bisa'ati dhihk. Habib, is this the time for you to crack jokes with us? He says, فَأَيُّ مَوْضِعٍ أَحَقُّ مِنْ هَذَا بِالسُّرُورِ. When better is it for me to feel that spiritual pleasure and spiritual happiness that I am giving my life in the way of Allah, in the way of the wali of Allah? أَجْرُكُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Habib proceeds. Now when the time comes that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam gives permission to Muslim ibn Awsaja, and I'll make it short. Muslim ibn Awsaja is a cousin to Habib ibn Mudahir, and they're very close, and Habib knew that if Muslim goes ahead, he will have to go to bring him back from the battlefield. He did not want Imam al-Hussein to go. So when Imam al-Hussein hears the call of Muslim ibn Awsaja, who fought valiantly, and he fell onto the ground. Now Muslim ibn Awsaja is a 70-year-old old man that he has to tie his eyebrows to his head so that he can keep his eyes open. Imam al-Hussein had given permission to Muslim ibn Awsaja. Muslim, when he falls from the horse and he is having his last breaths, Imam al-Hussein and Habib ibn Mudahir approach him. Habib ibn Mudahir tells Muslim, I know I'll be joining you very soon, but do you have any last wishes for me? And he points towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And he says, Bal ana usika bihada. Yes, I have one last wish. Till the time you're alive, I entrust this Imam al-Hussein to you. Make sure nothing happens to him. Habib ibn Mudahir fights like a brave lion, and he kills many of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Eventually, when his martyrdom comes, Imam al-Hussein runs towards the battlefield. Imagine a dear friend has died, is dying in the way of Allah. A dear friend is realizing that I'm losing a very close friend. Imam al-Hussein runs towards the battlefield. He comes to the grave, he comes to the body of Habib, and he stands there looking at him, and he says, Oh Allah, ahtasibu nafsi wa humata ashabi, I entrust to you myself and my companions. Ala la'natullah al-qawm al-zalimin, say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ala Muhammadin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of Imam al-Hussein and his companions, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with the pure fitrah that you have granted all human beings. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to appreciate all of the fadail of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam and transfer it to our children. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us realize that the fadail are all fadail when they are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, give us the greatest fadila of being killed and dying in your way under the flag of your wali and your sahib al-amr az-zaman ruhi wa arwahul alamina li turabi maqdamihi al-fida. Matami Hussein.